Hi, today is December 30th, 2018, and this is the last Mobius podcast of 2018, number 281. I'm Todd Ogasawara. The good Dr. Westfall is once again on a super secret mission and unable to join me, but we've got three old friends replacing him today as co-hosts in more or less alphabetical order, first name alphabetical order. Jack Cook hasn't been here in a while, but welcome back. And Ricky Lee.
Hello.
Also based in Hawaii like me. Jack's on the East Coast. Ricky's here. Sven is kind of in the middle. Sven Johansson. And we're just going to do some end of the year stuff. Not sure how long this is going to take, but just wanted to chat with some old friends before we say goodbye to 2018. Okay, so the first one is my item. It's kind of a rant. And I'm really annoyed by the splintering of streaming video services. You know, in the old days, all you needed was really YouTube and Netflix, and you're done, right? Now, if you want to watch Titans, which will be on Netflix in January, by the way, but if you want to watch Titans new, you got to have DC Universe. If you want to watch Cloak and Dagger and a few other things, you need Hulu. And Star Trek Discovery, at least in the U.S., is only available via CBS All Access. It used to be you could use a VPN to see Australia to watch it on Netflix, but I don't think that works anymore. Netflix and some of the other folks are getting pretty smart about VPNs. So, anybody else affected by the splintering of streaming, or just me?
just you.
Just me? Okay.
Yeah, I have an antenna, and that's pretty much what I do.
that's rad.
I use Netflix and various other download locations on the internet.
Well, I use Netflix and I have Prime.
Amazon Prime, yeah.
Oh yeah, I have Prime too.
And I'm also on cable, and I absolutely refuse to pay for CBS All Access.
I'm with you there.
I'm just not going to do it. Yep. I won't watch it. I don't care if how good it is. I'm already paying for CBS in my cable subscription, period. That's it. If they want me to watch their stuff, then put it on the regular cable.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Or put it on a streaming service that I already pay for, like Amazon Prime or Netflix or something else.
Yeah.
Well, starting next year, Disney's got their own, so.
Yes, which will lead to further splintering, right?
Yeah.
Well, so now, they all want to jump on the bandwagon because they see a revenue stream, but I think the truth of the matter is that Netflix will stay. I think Prime is going to stay. I think Hulu's going to stay, but I don't subscribe to Hulu, so if I can't see it on Netflix or Prime, I won't watch it because it's too much.
Too much. I think Disney will survive simply because they'll have their entire catalog, and
which is
parents
a lot.
Will have to subscribe to that.
Yeah,
right. Once they pull Frozen off Netflix, and the only place you can watch it is on the Disney service, people will start signing up.
Yeah, and if you're a Marvel fan, you know that's going to be the only game in time. Marvel fan? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's Marvel?
So, and you know, doesn't Disney own Lionsgate and Miramax and a couple other branded production houses. So they have quite a few pieces of property that people want to see. Yeah, I think I agree with you. They're going to survive, which is why Netflix and Amazon are really going to town on their original programming.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
But well, that's kind of when I dropped them.
Really?
Yeah, I wanted to see movies and stuff that weren't really available any other way.
Yeah.
What I was doing there is I was adjusting my ambient noise so I can actually hear myself, because it's disconcerting not to hear myself. But I just not interested in all that proprietary programming stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm not on a lot of them anymore. Well, Netflix started doing the old old movies. They used to have, you know, within 3-4 weeks of a movie coming out, they'd have it. Not anymore.
Oh, no.
Which is why, Sven, I just signed up for on Prime just because I never really needed it. I didn't order all that much from Amazon, and if I did, I made sure I had $49 to get free shipping.
Yeah.
But it's I'm finding it really, really terrific.
They've got some good original programs. Jack Ryan, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was absolutely outstanding. And then I watched Bosch. Have you seen Bosch?
I've seen Bosch, yeah.
Oh, my God, is that... We binged on that. We went through the four seasons, and I can't wait for the next season now.
And Julia Roberts has a thriller that I watched. Gosh, I forget the name of it, but it was pretty good, too.
Was that the one, Coming Home?
Yes, that's the one.
Now, I didn't think it was all that great. It took a long time for us to get into it.
It was slow.
It wasn't like
Jack Ryan.
It was... It took us probably six episodes to get into it.
Yeah.
But Jack Ryan was one episode. I was sold.
Yeah.
I like Man in the High Castle.
Oh, I have. It's good.
First season was good. Second season started to go weird, and third season I haven't started yet.
Does it stay pretty close to the book?
Well, considering the book is only 100 pages, and they finished that in the first season, no.
No, okay.
I mean, they ran out of stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, they stretched The Hobbit out into three movies, right?
No, it's nowhere close to the book.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Well, no, Lord of the Rings and Hobbit are separate, right? Hobbit's a really thin book.
Yeah, but the movies were Lord of the Rings. They didn't do three Hobbit movies.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
Did they? I don't think
so. Yeah, they did a separate prequel. Okay. Yeah. Which I didn't watch because not a Hobbit. I mean, I like Lord of the Rings, not a Hobbit fan. But at any rate. Okay. Next one, I'm going to bet that's Ricky's topic up next.
Oh, yeah. I was very happy that the crypto market crashed this year.
I think you didn't buy into it.
Well, no, I did buy a little bit of cryptocurrency, but for 2 years, I couldn't buy a video card for my computer because of how crazy the prices had gotten.
Oh, because of all the people creating farms and things?
Who would want to buy a video card for $1,200?
Yeah.
It's the price of the computer. But once the crash happened, hey, everything came back to like $400.
I didn't even tie those things together. But so once cryptocurrency's fad dropped, graphic card prices run down because they didn't need acceleration from it.
Yeah. And supposedly, although it's not as direct, memory dropped too because people didn't need massive amounts of memories for their crypto farms anymore. So I thought the crash was great, bad but good too, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, here in Hawaii, we are, as Ricky knows, you know, our power prices are so high, we'll never see any crypto farms here.
No, but I've heard people try.
Really?
That's a crazy thing. Yeah, I've heard rumors of stuff in some server farms, not server farms, but you know, the places that rhyme with fortress. I've heard that there's some staff had farms in there.
Oh, interesting.
Nothing confirmed, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you probably won't have a lot of marijuana grows out there either then, in the greenhouses, because they take a lot of energy.
No, we have a lot. Actually, they use solar.
Green harvest, too, back in there.
Yeah, on the big island, they had lava tubes, you know, which are naturally formed.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they had power and all kinds of stuff running through there. There were a number of seizures a while back that were
Wait, is it true that at some point some of those growers figured out they could make more money during tours, so they ripped out their farms and
I didn't hear that one.
That was a rumor that I was hearing, or urban legend that I was hearing about why there's so many lava tours on the big island, was because they used to be farms, they couldn't make any more money not legally, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then they became tours.
Wow. No, that's interesting though. I wonder what it is now with all the earthquakes and stuff. I mean, it's probably too dangerous to take them on lava tube tours now or after, you know, death to
drop. Sign a waiver, you'll be fine.
All righty. Okay. I'm guessing this is Ricky, too.
I just crashed.
Oh.
You're back, though.
You're back. Ricky, is this one yours, too? End of the x86 in Windows? Again?
No, yet again. I don't know. What do you think? With Snapdragon computers coming out with... Well, the one advantage of them this time around is that they have 20 hours of battery life.
Yeah, but the disadvantage is, don't they only currently run like 32-bit version of Windows apps? So you can't run 64-bit apps?
But Microsoft did release the SDK, so people are recompiling
for 64-bit apps.
Yeah, for Snapdragon.
Yeah, but can they actually run now? I mean, if you recompile, did it actually run now? Can you get stuff?
Well, I mean, the only one I've been able to download and download safely is PuTTY, and PuTTY works the same as native
XDK. So. Okay.
And Chrome, Firefox, they're also coming to Snapdragon, so.
Yeah, which
I don't know, maybe this time next year.
Which Windows and ARM box did you buy?
The HP Envy X2. So the one of the first generation ones. So it's slow.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. It's slow, but I found that I'm actually using it more than my XPS 15 because the battery just lasts longer.
Are you using just for running around or for actual like video? Nah, too slow for video, right?
Not video. Just running around.
Yeah. Email, browser.
Social media stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Sven and Jack buy everything under the sun also. So what did you guys... Did you guys buy any ARMs? I have not bought any ARMs. Oh,
no, Jack I have not. Jack's gone again.
No, he's back.
I haven't bought an ARM one. I've thought about it, but I bought the Go. Actually, I have two Go's.
Yeah.
I got the LTE model.
Oh.
Recently. And I've got a Google Fi SIM in that. Works fine.
Yeah?
Works great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Now, to do that, did you have to activate the Google Fi SIM in your phone first and then put
it
in?
No, it's
not the data SIM.
Data SIM.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I've got that same setup on my my HP one.
Nice. Nice. Jack, you look pensive.
Well, I was just trying to figure out why my Skype was just shutting down.
Blipping out?
I figured I'm not going to touch the Surface Book just to make sure.
You're not on CenturyLink, are you?
No.
You're probably Comcast. You're part of the world, but...
I am on CenturyLink.
Are you? Were you down for 2 days or whatever the heck it was? You weren't affected by that outage?
I don't... It was a 911 outage, wasn't it?
Yeah. I thought it was like a whole bunch of stuff was out.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah? I wouldn't know. I wasn't home for the last 9 days.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You're traveling. Yeah, so. You just got back. Welcome back.
We had the 911 warning come over the phone saying that they were out and to call a regular police department number or the fire department number. And that lasted pretty much all day yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's back, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty scary. Okay. So at any rate, they tried it to Windows RT and then Windows S, which is now S mode.
Back in the day, Windows NT ran on Power PCs. And,
that's right.
What was it, Alpha? I forgot the other.
Yeah, CD. Alpha, the Alpha chip.
Alpha. That's why, again, do you think they'll come back? I think this time there's a strong possibility with Intel 10 nanometer disappearing. And it's like, you know what? Maybe 20 hours of battery life. Slower, but it's not that much slower. It might be a good reason for people to start using something other than Intel and AMD.
I would try it if it was in a handheld PC form factor.
You mean like a phone that died?
No, like a HP 720 LX. That was my favorite, all-time favorite handheld PC. That thing was awesome. Real keyboard, nice screen, you know.
Well, the Nova Go is like that. The Asus Nova Go looks more like a laptop.
Yeah.
And then mine that looks like the Surface Pro.
Yeah. All right. Uh-oh. I
hope that's a laptop bag and not a...
Or not a cat screaming. What? Oh my gosh, what is that, Sven? So Sven is holding up NEC 720. 780. 780?
I think it's 780.
I love that one too.
Which one it is.
Was that the Color Pro or the black and white?
It's a color.
Okay. Yeah, that was great too. Remember those days, Jack?
Yeah, listen, I have gotten rid of everything. All I have is my Surface Book 2 and my Surface Pro 4. A good size monitor. They both connect to the monitor. It's all I need. No more PCs. That's it. I'm done. I really like the Surface Book 2. I have to tell you, it's an amazing device.
Okay. Let's see. So I don't know, Ricky. Maybe I'll stick this time. But Microsoft's, the problem is Microsoft is in a post Windows era, right? I mean, they can't even release a stable version of 18 or 9. Did the stable version finally come out?
I have no idea. I'm already on Sprint because I'm like, I'm done. I'm on the next release because I'm like, I'm done worrying about my files disappearing.
Yeah. And my Windows Insider notebook won't even update anymore. It just goes to a blank screen and fails an update. I don't know what's going on with that. But
I'm on 1809 on most everything I get.
Yeah.
It seems to work all right to go.
No loss of data or whatever.
Yeah, no, I'm updated on everything, so yeah. I don't know.
I haven't turned on a Windows PC in my house in months, so I don't know where they are.
Really?
Yeah.
You're still just Apple?
Apple or Chromebook?
Chromebook.
Mostly Chromebook.
Hey, soon you can run Windows on your Chromebook.
I know.
Yeah, I read that. That sounds cool.
I can lose data on my Chromebook, too, now.
I think it would be cool if it wasn't just a dual boot thing.
Yeah, that's useless to me. I mean, it's more interesting running Linux containers on the Chromebook than Windows, you know, dual boot. To me. I mean, I've got a Windows box. I just don't use it. I guess I should run an update on it one of these days.
Maybe Corel will update Parallel so it'll run Windows on a Chromebook.
You know what? I was surprised to find out just like yesterday, actually. WordPerfect is still around.
Yes.
Yeah, they bought somebody.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Who did they buy? Oh, they bought Parallels, right?
Corel bought Parallels, and when people were talking about that, they said maybe they'll integrate it with WordPerfect.
Okay.
Internet
wasn't listening
going,
to that part.
WordPerfect still exists.
Yeah.
Because
Corel owns WordPerfect too, so I was surprised. Yeah. Like, wait, what?
Yeah. I mean, I use PaintShop Pro for stuff.
Oh, I used to use that.
For the longest time, I had the I had Word set up to use the WordPerfect key mappings.
Gosh. I don't even remember what the key mappings were.
Shift F5 to save.
Yeah. anyway, okay. Next up, year of hacks, cyber attacks, data breaches. That's kind of every year. But was this year especially bad, Ricky, you think?
I think because of the hotel one. The Marriott.
Oh, yeah. That was
that
like...
one was literally worldwide. Everybody in the world plus passports that got.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Okay, I'll give you that one. Yeah. I'll give you that one.
I haven't figured out why. There's some site that I'm visiting, and it's a legitimate site.
Yeah.
I'm very, very careful where I go. And somehow I get this pop-up screen that comes up. You know, your Microsoft computer has been compromised.
Right.
I hate that.
Click this button, and I can't figure out where I'm getting it. Of course, what I do is just... get to the control alt delete and my task, and I just close down the edge. But I have no idea where I'm getting it from.
Yeah, it might be.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say it might be one of those browser. What did they call them in Edge/IE? You know where they're
extensions.
They basically takes over your thing. Mm. Try a different browser. Try Chrome or Firefox.
Yeah.
And see if you get the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's easy to, you know, to close it down because I even did a full scan of my computer the other day. I mean, there's nothing in there, but I know it's some website that I'm visiting, and it's they're obviously infected. So
yeah, go into Edge and see if any of those browser extensions have been turned on that you don't recognize.
Oh, it could be.
Yeah.
And the famous clear your cache, clear your cookies.
Yeah, I think he said he cleared his cache. Yeah.
I do that. I do that religiously, at least once a week. Yeah. Sometimes I just wipe everything out, and because I don't. First of all, I don't need to save the history. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's no purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But, let's see. Net neutrality. You know, that one's kind of interesting. So. My comment was, okay. I mean, you know, and I'm pro net neutrality. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
But I don't think we've gotten far enough to see what's happening. And here in Hawaii in particular, if you're using Charter, or what are they called now? Spectrum.
Spectrum.
We are still under, or they are still required to adhere to the now defunct net neutrality rules. Because of their merger with Time Warner Cable for, I think, 2 or 3 years past the merger. And we're coming up on the end of the second year, I think. So,
yeah. And wasn't Hawaiian Tel bound to the Hawaiian Tel sale also bound to the same similar set of.
Yeah. So our
Eilek. We're still good in Hawaii, but.
Yeah, for a while, for another year maybe. Yeah, our Eilek, Hawaiian Telcom, Telcom, was sold to Cincinnati Bell earlier this year. I mean, not sold, but they closed earlier this year.
Closed, yeah.
Yeah. So they also have some merger requirements from our side. So, I don't know. Have you guys noticed anything, Jack, Sven, where you live?
No.
No.
No shaping problems?
No. You got to remember that I'm not doing any of the streaming services. So
That's right. You wouldn't notice.
Yeah, I wouldn't really notice.
Yeah, except for Skype.
Except for Skype.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be working fine for me. And I'm like I said, I'm on, what's the, I can't remember the number. The provider that I just said I was on. No, it wasn't Comcast. It's the one that with the 911 problem.
Oh, CenturyLink.
CenturyLink.
Yeah, which used to be.
And it's written right here.
You know? Yeah, it used to be Quest, used to be US West. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm only doing like 40 meg, you know, downlink. It's perfectly fine. I'm getting all three of you just fine.
Okay. Yeah. Next up looks like, I'm going to guess this is either a Jack or Ricky rant. I can't figure out which one. I'm going to say Ricky. Year of the tablet 2-in-1 PC. What's your problem with it?
The keyboards all suck.
Well, isn't that true? I mean, even the dedicated MacBook Pro's keyboard sucks. So it's not just 2-in-1 problem.
Well, true, but I don't know. Just the 2-in-1 keyboards. Every time you press the space bar, you also click the trackpad. Is what I'm finding.
Really?
Because of how floppy they are. Yeah.
Oh.
Every single one I've tried, even the Microsoft one, the iPad doesn't have a trackpad. Yeah. It's just something about the way my table is set up or the different surfaces that I've tried.
Yeah.
It's just that when you put too much pressure around the space bar, you also end up clicking. It's like, this is irritating.
Mm. You'll be a little less aggressive on the space bar.
Yeah.
I learned how to type on a
manual typewriter.
Model M.
Right?
I learned how to type on a Model M, so I tend, you know.
You tend to pound that thing.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Facebook scandal? Oh, my gosh. Meh. There's so many.
Who cares? And I'm on Facebook because my grandkids are and kids are, so that's how I keep track of people. Hey,
which reminds me.
I don't need 18 different social networks.
I got a problem with Jack and Facebook. Jack, not enough pictures of your dog. We need more pictures of your dog.
I know. I've been so bad.
You know?
Well, the reason is that I use it rarely now. If I go on it to look at something that my son has posted or his fiance has posted.
Yeah.
Only because my wife mentioned it. I'm not getting the kick out of it anymore. I think it was probably because of all of the political views.
Oh,
Either I've had or others have had.
What? You have strong views? Well, all I'm saying, Jack, is, look, I'm not asking a lot. One photo a day.
Yeah, that would.
Right? That's not that hard.
I even set up a page for her, you know, and I just don't do it.
Yeah.
But you know, she's with me 24/7. I'm actually surprised she's not sitting here in this room.
Yeah.
But my wife was gone to Minnesota for 3 days, so she's down there with her because she missed her.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm just saying, 2019, my request to you is more photos of Neely.
I agree. Because there's usually something that's priceless. That
it doesn't have to even be priceless. Just close up of the nose. I'm good at that. All righty. Let's see. I don't know. So which 2-in-1 in particular again? Were you? It was the Envy you were talking about.
The Envy I use every day. I tried two different types of Envys: the Snapdragon and the X86 version. They weren't very good. I mentioned the Surface.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Surface Book or just the regular Surface? It's stretching it to call a Surface Book a 2-in-1.
Yeah. No, it's the one that's got the same form, form factor as the HP Envy. Yeah,
with the clothy sort of.
Yeah.
Which
the one that made it feel like you're typing on a car.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Which reminds me, my Surface Pro 4 at work encountered the swollen battery problem.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it wouldn't charge, and you know, and basically, it's very sick.
So, will they replace the battery?
I don't know. It's going into Microsoft this week, this coming week. I've got a loaner from our IT folks.
I was going to say, you work for the state.
So I've got a loaner for.
You're going to wind up with a new one or a refurb or something. Yeah, I don't know how you refurb those things. I don't think you can take them apart and fix them. So, I think you can take them apart, get parts out of them. But
yeah. So that was an unpleasant discovery the other day. It's like, why am I plugged in and saying plugged in but not charging? You know, so we started fussing around. And Oh, well. And now on the loaner, I'm told not to store files on the, you know, on the hard drive. No, that doesn't matter to me. Well, it does matter. I was told not to sync with OneDrive for Business. So now I have to work completely off of OneDrive for Business without syncing. And boy, it is a giant pain to use OneDrive just through the browser. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, for 9 hours a day or whatever, you know. You could do it for like 10 minutes, but anyway. Okay, so that was another rant on my side. I as a first to two-in-ones, I'm really happy with the Samsung Chromebook Plus V1 I bought 18 months ago, whatever it is now. It's really good. Although I never use it as a two-in-one. I always use it in notebook mode.
You know? I'll tell you, Steve Hughes sent me an email the other day.
Yeah.
A month ago, and telling me that on Comcast that I can get the 9.7-inch $427 iPad for $120. Okay. $5 a month for 24 months, and then it's yours. Or you can pay it off if you want.
Right.
So I picked it up for my wife for Christmas.
Yeah.
She's impressed, and quite frankly, I'm very impressed with it.
Yeah.
The size of it is just the perfect size. She just went out to Minnesota, as I said, and that's the only thing she took. She said it was wonderful.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. I still think it's the biggest mistake that Microsoft ever made when people were clamoring for make a Surface Mini.
Yes.
It's the perfect size. Yes. I mean, I love my Surfaces.
I'm not sure the Surface Mini was going to be that big.
Oh, you don't think so?
No, I think it was more 7-inch.
Oh. Or 8. Like an iPad Mini.
I had one of those iPad Mini. Those Windows 8-inch tablets. They were.
I still got one.
Yeah, they were. Nobody had the Surface Mini.
No,
there are people that do. People do have them.
Yeah,
they did exist.
Now the Surface 3 non-Pro has a lot of fans amongst our friends.
Yeah.
Oh sure.
You know.
Yeah.
So
that was a nice device. Go is great. I mean,
my Surface 3 has just died.
Oh.
The battery is gone, so it's going to get thrown in a dumpster.
No.
Yeah. Sad. Along with my little tiny Dell, because I don't use them anymore.
Yeah, but
Surface Dell is a pretty good size. It really is, and it's reasonably quick for the stuff I do with it.
Yeah.
And the same stuff you would do with an iPad.
Yeah, I do. You know, I have two iPad Pros actually, and I bought the second one because I made the mistake of only buying a 32 gig model when I first bought the iPad Pro.
Oh yeah, I did that same mistake.
And then I started using it so much. I said, okay, this is not going to work. So that became my Netflix machine. And also Civilization, because I can't run Civilization in iOS 11 or 12. So I had to buy a 256 gigabyte iPad Pro 10.5 the next year, which I, you know, normally never do. I never buy every year. But
how much was that?
What's that, Jack?
$1 million. It's $1 million.
How much was that?
The 256, I think, was about $1,000.
$1,000? Yeah.
Yeah, it's not cheap. But I use it every day for my little doodle a day project. So
yes,
for me, it was worthwhile.
Yeah. I think it's a bit lower than $1,000 because I paid $1,000, but I have the LTE version.
Okay.
Of the, so it was a little under
like $950 or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because mine was the $1,000 one, which I was like, this is the same as the laptop. Why am I buying this?
Right. And I already had an Apple Pencil V1, so I didn't have to buy a new one. If, you know, Jack, the other thing is, if you guys do anything like with note-taking and stuff, the Apple Pencil is amazing.
Really?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I do note that the 9.7 inch iPad uses the older pencil.
Yes,
and but cannot use the new pencil.
That's right.
And the new iPad Pros use the new pencil and cannot use the older
right.
pencil.
That's right.
That's
right.
Really weird.
Yeah. Swell. But at least it doesn't charge stuck on the end of it like a. You know,
oh, that is. Pen, oh, yeah. That's that is ridiculous. But I have to lay down my pencil and Pro very carefully every time I charge it.
No, I've had the.
I just got the adapter.
I will say that connector is very strong because I've had the experience of charging it that way and then having a niece pick it up like thinking it's a sign.
Oh no.
It didn't last for very long. It's like, no, Uncle Rick is taking that away from you, but it held up for that, you know, 5 microseconds when that was happening.
Yeah.
It's not a sign.
It's not a sign. We should note that his niece is like 3.
You know? 3 and 5. So yeah.
So they can be forgiven. All right. Oh, Jack.
Samsung.
So Jack was one of the last people in the world to be using Windows Phone as his dedicated primary go-to phone. What was your last Windows Phone, Jack? What was the last one you used on a regular basis?
This one right here, the 950 XL.
The Nokia. Yeah.
And I still use it.
Uh-huh.
But there's no SIM card, so I just use it here in the house, use it on Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi, yeah.
But I was having some difficulty with it. I think it just was time. I've had it for, 4 years?
Yeah.
It was time to change. But a year ago, my wife's old Windows phone had finally reached EOL, end of life.
Yeah.
And so we went down to... the phone store, and she was deciding should she get an iPhone or should she get an Android. Yeah. And I relied upon my my years of vast experience asking friends, and the majority of people said for what she was doing that the Android might be better. So we bought the Samsung Galaxy Note 8 for her, and I was pretty much impressed with it, although I found the Android experience very difficult. Nowhere near as fluent as Windows Phone, and nowhere near as intuitive. But it's probably because since the beginning of time, I've just been a Windows person, so that's why it was natural.
Have you tried the Windows launcher for Android?
Yes! Well, I have to tell you, can tell from my face, it's after we had it, then I started doing some reading, and the recommendations of those Windows Phone fanatics to make the experience better, go for Windows Launcher.
Yeah.
First thing I did, it totally turned me around in 5 minutes. It was easy to understand, and it just followed through. So after she's had it for a year, I decided it was time, and I got the Samsung Galaxy Note. We'll see if I can get this come up. And I got a nice little case from Samsung. I love the screen. It's very, very good. There are things about Android, you know, the ability in Windows Phone, when you look at your app list, and you have all these apps on
right,
it.
Right, right.
And what I did with Windows Phone, what I do with Windows Phone is I move all of the apps that I use all the time to a certain position. Mm-hmm. And I just know when I turn on my Windows Phone, all these apps that are shown, they're all there in a certain position. Mm-hmm. And then as I scroll, the ones that are down at the bottom list, I don't use very often, but I still use them. And why whoever designs the Android stuff, why they don't take and make that distinct advantage of being able to move your apps around to where you want them, make it personal. So the way I do it is different than the way how you do it, but it's personalized. And so it makes the experience so much better. But overall, I'm pretty happy with the Note 9. It's pretty powerful. I haven't I spent time, you know, I just try to pick something new every day to work on and become adept at it. It's been a really good experience.
Yeah. I don't know about Samsung's user interface. I know, you know, Samsung has a kind of a different spin on their UI. But on the native Android UI on my Pixel 2, for example, see, I've got like folders and stuff customized on my home screen, and I've got multiple home screens.
It's sideways, yeah.
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 And then, you know, and then you go up for all the apps, but I don't care about that because I hardly look at that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I have the same experience. You know, I have the screen, so each screen is set up for the apps I use all the time when I first turn it on, what I want to use. So that works out all right. I'm not unhappy with it. It's a learning experience.
Oh, of course, yes. But, yeah. I mean, you've been using Windows Phone for 15 years now?
Yeah.
Pretty close?
Yeah. Since the very first one. So back in what, '01,
if you got the T-Mobile...
Wait, those were Palm Trios back then or something, right?
No.
They were actually
the T-Mobile.
LG and Samsung and a couple people made Windows way back then.
01, 02, T-Mobile introduced the very, very first Windows phone. I think it was made by Compal or one of those kind of people.
Oh, wow. Well, right. But I'll bet you I've had 30 or 40 Windows phones over the years, the ones I got for free and ones that I bought.
Yeah, in fact, Jack, Sven, you might remember, was it in 01? I don't know if you guys were there yet, but it was in one of the MVP. We were all on a bus with Derek Brown, and Derek kind of, you know, pulled out the very first Windows phone out of his pocket. None of us had heard of it. We kind of heard rumors, but none of us had ever seen one before. And, you know, none of us had really seen a smartphone, I think. And it was like a wondrous piece of magic, because there he was, you know, on the bus with us and, you know, browsing the web and things like that. It was crazy. I mean,
yeah, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
But anyways, I jumped to the backside. I'm pretty satisfied. I don't know if you can see this now, but this case I got is actually pretty slick. Now, when I close, I wanted something that I could put in my pocket and not ruin the glass screen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Samsung sells this. Now, when I close this cover.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Ambience,
Yeah.
It's very, very cool.
Yeah.
And so, then it'll time out. But then, you know, if you want it, you know, it just pops up again. It's very, very cool. Has the notifications.
Yeah.
When you get email or text or something that pop up on that.
Right. So what Jack's showing us is that when he closes the cover on the Samsung Galaxy Note 9, the screen disappears, but then kind of basic information like time and notification stuff pop up on a low power mode, I assume.
So I know if I have emails or a text message that I missed or whatever. It's very, very slick.
Yeah, that
but
is
anyways,
cool.
that's enough of the dark side, because I'm becoming a believer, because I have no other choice.
Now we're going to get him to use the iPad Pro, and then the world's going to go like topsy-turvy, you know?
I did get to use, it was one of those two-week challenges things back in the day. Yeah. I did use a Nokia 650 Windows phone or something like that.
Yeah.
It was a terrible experience, but the speaker was great, and I liked the live tiles, which we do not have on Android.
Yeah.
And I like those live tiles.
I have to tell you, it makes the whole experience better.
Yeah.
And why? I mean, Windows isn't using it. Is that something that Microsoft just has the right to, or can anyone use
Windows,
it?
I don't know. Windows is using it. I use it on my Go.
And the one thing I have to say
tablet.
About Windows Phone that to this day was the best experience. The Bluetooth stack on those things that we used were awesome. To this day, none of the Bluetooth stacks on iPhone or Android work the way I want them to.
Yeah, that's true. Android has that annoying, like, almost 1 second delay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it doesn't route sound to the right place where I expected it to. Mm-hmm. Windows Phone routed the sound where I expected it to. You know, if I had the Bluetooth speakerphone on, it routed it there. If it was off, it routed to the phone. It didn't ask me where to go. It just says, well, it's on. I guess you want to go there. You know?
And nobody's yet done a good
text to speech for cars.
Oh yeah,
the Windows Phone.
That was really good.
That was really, really good.
That was surprisingly good. And this was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, prompts to that team. And negative prompts to the mobile IE and mobile office people, because that sucked.
I mean, that's... I'll tell you, the first thing I did when I got the Note 9 is I installed Launcher and every Microsoft app available in the Play Store.
Works pretty good, doesn't it?
And it works pretty damn good.
Well, it's Microsoft can write software.
Yeah,
well, that's true.
Except for operating systems.
But you know, you have to give prompts to their current CEO, because Nadella has really turned that company around in terms of being truly available in other platforms, right?
Yeah.
Office on iPad Pro, Office on Android, you know, all that kind of stuff. It works the way you expect it to, the way you want it to as an end user. You know, I don't care, you know, what loyalties you have to which product company. I just want it to work. That's all I want. And they've delivered that, I think. It works pretty darn well, I have to say. Okay, now I wanted to mention one more. I just added this to our discussion topic because the feature that impressed me the most on my Android phone, or any phone this year, really, is Android Camera Night Sight on the Pixel. Now, I have a Pixel 2. I think Sven has a Pixel 3. Yep. Night Sight changes the way you take photos, or changes the photos you can take. Maybe that's the
other way. As a photographer, or as a professional photographer?
Yeah.
Can you see the shot?
Kind of. Wait, pull it back a little.
Yeah, okay.
Which way?
Towards you. Okay. It's not focusing on it, but that's okay.
That shot impressed me.
Okay.
How challenging the lighting is. There's a big spotlight in front of me.
Yeah.
The people without the spotlight, I can't find my finger. These people are lit up properly.
Yeah.
That was taken with night sight.
Yeah.
There's no way I could do that in camera. I could do it, maybe spend about an hour doing this in Photoshop, but the phone did it in seconds.
Yeah.
Wow. And that impressed me.
Yeah. Wow. So... You know,
I'm just going to send my phone out to gigs and not even bother.
Yeah. So for your next phone, Jack, which is the way you buy stuff, is next month. So you know, if you have pets, and you know, as I said, I'd like to see more pictures of your pet.
Yeah.
One of the problems is taking photos early in the morning or at night, right? And then, you know, that's when pets do a lot of fun stuff. And quite frankly, I couldn't get those photos previously because it was just too darn dark, you know, because they're outside and I've got like one little bulb out there for them, and it may or may not be adequate. But now I can take pictures in essentially pretty close to darkness, not quite darkness. And I don't know if you can see this. That is shot outside with one light bulb maybe 12 feet away, 60-watt light bulb. The picture's sharp, the colors are saturated. That's night sight on Pixel 2, so it's not even the newest Pixel. That photo would be very muddy and dark under any other, including my phone 10S. It would be pretty muddy and dark under
And for the listeners out there, Todd just took and turned his camera on, showed me a picture that traveled 6,000 miles from Honolulu to Boston. It's absolutely crystal clear, and it looked like it was taken at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful picture of both rabbits.
Yeah, and it's like 9 p.m. at night.
Wow.
Yeah.
One of the, you know, speaking of things that impress you, I want to show you this, which definitely impressed me. I just took and I'm showing everybody my Galaxy Note, and I just have a web page up, and I don't know if I can get this close enough where you can see it.
Yeah, I see it. How to stop OneDrive?
All right, at the bottom, there's a little miniature phone.
Okay.
Can you see that at the very bottom?
Yes.
It's a little miniature phone. If I take that and press the phone, click. All right, so all of a sudden it tells me, you know, which of my devices are online.
Right.
And I have my Surface Book and I have my Surface Pro 4.
Right.
I'm going to click the Surface Pro 4, and I'm going to try to disconnect my Surface Pro 4. Oh, I just hit the back button because I just did this, damn it. But it automatically pushes it over and puts it up on the screen. It's just amazing. Now, let me press this again. I'll press Surface Pro 4, and we'll see it. Oh, see it? Oh,
yeah. Change? So the display from the phone is now on your Pro 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, it does it instantaneously.
It is pretty amazing how far we've come, in the last 20 years of mobile devices.
Oh, and that's across an Android to a Microsoft system too. So it's we're not tied so much anymore into, well, I have iPhone, so I need Macs, or I have a Windows thing, so I need a Windows phone.
Is that the Windows 10 phone app that you're using to push that?
I think that's Samsung's.
Well, Samsung's.
I'm not sure if it's Windows Launcher that has done that, or if it was the native Samsung, because as soon as I got this, the very first thing I installed on it was Launcher. But it is absolutely awesome, particularly if you were working on something and you say, boy, I need the bigger screen real estate.
Right.
You press the button. If your Windows devices are on, it's instantaneous. It just goes over. And, I mean, you just press the button. It just appears on the Windows device. Pretty awesome.
Okay. Next up, I think three out of the four of us, I don't know what, probably not Jack, but I know Sven, Ricky, and I are all Google Fi subscribers. Mm-hmm. Sven mentioned using a Fi SIM on his, Surface Go LTE?
Yeah. I've also got a data SIM in my 950 XL for fun.
And you can now use it in an iPhone.
Which
is weird.
The one thing that's kind of interesting about having the data SIM in this thing is I can use Skype to make a Skype out call cellular.
So you can still make a call without...
So still make a call from anywhere.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's cool. That's
so
cool.
Who wrote in that? Was that you, Sven, or was that you, Ricky, about...
Yeah, they got the Google Fi, or what?
The Google Fi item. That was you?
A cell service as it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, why...
Except for the data price.
And by that, you mean there's no unlimited, or kind of no unlimited.
Oh, there is unlimited. It's just you pay unlimited, too. It is unlimited because they cap it at $60 if it's an individual.
Gigabytes, right.
So, you know, you can't pay more than that. So you can use as much as you want.
So I just...
At $10 a gigabyte, it's kind of high.
I just changed to T-Mobile.
Okay.
From being on AT&T since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
I've been very disappointed with AT&T with the lack of connection up north in Maine.
Yeah.
In a variety of places. So because I'm over 65, by a lot, T-Mobile has a special thing where it's unlimited. It costs me $50 a month.
Right.
Unlimited voice, text, and data. Now, my wife jumps on. She's on Verizon.
Right.
Then it'll be another $20 a month. So it would be $70 for the two of us. So that's $35 a piece. Unlimited text, voice, and
data.
That's
a good deal. That's a good deal.
It's a good deal. So what I did when I was deciding if T-Mobile was going to work for me, I got a SIM that cost me, I think they charged me $12 for the SIM. And then I had to pay $3 for voice, which lasts, it's 25 minutes of voice for $3. I don't need it, but for $3, it was worth it. So I had an extra phone that I could make calls on. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's Wi-Fi everywhere. But I'm pretty impressed with T-Mobile. I am now getting signal strength in virtually every place I go. I have not had a bad experience in the 6 weeks I've been with T-Mobile. I can't say enough of them, how good they are.
Yeah.
Compared to AT&T or Verizon.
Yeah, we should note that Jack is in Boston area, so your mileage may vary. In Hawaii, it depends where you are in Hawaii. Downtown Honolulu, it's okay, although the wall penetration is a little light side. You go to Maui and the Big Island and Kauai, though, and you've got some issues.
Really?
Yeah.
When I was living in Seattle, the urbanized areas was great.
Yeah.
Some of the rural areas was kind of weird. So, your mileage may vary, but I love it in Honolulu.
Now,
Well, in 3 months, I'll be out in Seattle, and I'll be finding out how good the T-Mobile is.
Yeah.
And ironically, there's a dead spot right in front of the HQ because the antennas are right on top of the HQ, and you know, signal propagation, it doesn't go vertically down.
Right, right.
So there's a dead spot right there.
Well, you guys might remember that early on when they were doing when Microsoft was doing testing on campus for their early phones, they actually had their own dedicated
cell tower.
And so we got great service when we were on campus.
Yeah. Unless you were vertically under the tower.
Yeah, vertically under the tower. But yeah, that was such a
good thing. That was one of the things we always griped about is, you know, they were so stuck on ubiquitous connectivity.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know what not connectivity was.
Right, because they had their own cell tower.
the entire campus is bathed in Wi-Fi and they had their own cell tower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the regular people out here, we were, you know, nothing for a while and things didn't work. So.
Yeah, and you know, it wasn't that long ago when I got my first iPhone, which is... I got the iPhone 3G, so that was a second one. So that would have been 2008? Yeah, 2008.
Something like that, yeah.
I had to go outside of my house and walk about 25 feet south to get cell service.
Really? I'm not surprised, yeah.
On AT&T.
Where I am, AT&T is fine, but I've got the Google Pixel with Fi on it, so I've got the... I can have AT&T, Sprint, or T-Mobile, and U.S. Cellular, too. But, you know, so I'm pretty much covered wherever I go between the two of them.
Yeah, maybe I should pick up a Fi SIM for my... I wonder if they have that new Nano SIM, whatever it's called. Oh, no, wait. Can I do an eSIM, a dual eSIM? No. You know, because the XS has an eSIM and a SIM slot.
Yeah, I don't know.
That'd be interesting. At any rate.
I don't know. Yeah. The only weirdness I've had with Google Fi was when I was traveling internationally.
Yeah.
And the Fi SIM would change. It's hard to explain, but the Fi SIM would change its number depending on what country you're in, but you would still get calls on your US number. Somewhere in the back of the network, your SIM would have a different number.
Yeah.
But your US number would be routed to that new number that you're using.
Right, it'd be routed to a local number.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was something to get used to because people would start calling... People in that country would call the local number and it would ring on my phone.
Oh.
And for them, it would be a local call, obviously.
Right.
But then also U.S. people would call the U.S. number and it would still come in. It was just really, as a person who screens their calls, it's like, what is this phone number ringing on my phone?
Yeah.
It was a little weird, but I can live with that weirdness.
Yeah. So two things about Google Fi, since I've been using it for quite a while, is one, if you're a Google Voice user, you need to create a new account. If you want to preserve your Google Voice service, which is what I did. So I had to create a new account to go get my Fi service years ago. But I was able to combine both my old and new accounts on my Pixel 2. Well, back then it was a Nexus 6. So I still have access to everything except Google Voice. Google Voice simply won't work on an Android phone running on a Fi network. But so that's kind of a problem. Although I can still get emails, so I can see Google Voice emails. And the other thing is, like, as Ricky was mentioning, when you travel, if it is supported where you are, it is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in the UK for a couple of weeks back in 2016. Yeah, 2016 and 2016. And it had some spotty connections in Edinburgh, Scotland. But when it worked fine. And it didn't work. And by the way, if you go to the Highlands of Scotland, it doesn't work at all.
You got to have Vodafone up there. T-Mobile, but when I was traveling last year, I traveled with both my T-Mobile that had some international roaming and the Google Fi.
Yeah.
The Fi was faster than the T-Mobile.
You know, I... So that was another weird thing, right? So you read that you get very slow, like a little bit over edge speeds, like 256 kbps per second. But I was seeing LTE speeds in London, at least.
For T-Mobile or for Fi?
Well, Fi.
For Fi, it was fast.
Yeah.
For T-Mobile, I was getting their negotiated 3G speeds no matter where I went.
Right. Yeah. And in Edinburgh, Scotland, it's block by block whether you get service or not. I mean, seriously, I'd have service. I'd walk next block, no service. Walk a couple more blocks, I'd have service. It was wild. Okay. The next thing I wanted to ask is, Sven is wearing a pair of those new-ish, I guess, Surface headphones. Sven, you like them?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. They're very, very comfortable. I got them in Seattle. I couldn't find them here locally before I left.
Yeah.
Nobody had them. I couldn't find them at the Best Buy across the street from the hotel I was at. Mm-hmm. I checked, and we happened to be at a mall at Bellevue Square Mall.
Oh, yeah. You're
familiar with that.
Yeah.
We walked into the Microsoft store. Yeah. They were everywhere. That's where all of them are. In the Bellevue Square Mall.
Of course they would be.
Now, are you using that as your microphone right now, or are you using a separate microphone?
I'm using this as the microphone Bluetooth.
It sounds great. It does.
Oh, good. Good, yeah. I don't think I've got a set of the Bose QC3s, and that's what I wore going out, and I wore these coming back in the airplane. I don't think the noise cancellation is quite as good on these. But it does have an interesting feature, which I'm using right now, is you can adjust the noise cancellation. It's not just on and off.
Oh.
I can adjust it. There's variable. So, and I can even amplify the outside noise if I want to. So it's almost like a microphone.
Yeah.
So I've turned myself up so I can hear myself talk, because I can turn myself so I can't even hear myself.
Wow.
But it's very disconcerting.
When you tune the noise cancellation, what is it you're tuning? Frequency levels, or like, are you tuning out low frequencies versus high?
Just amount. Yeah. So I can turn it up so I can hear a little bit of the plane noise if I want, and then I can I could hear the guy talking, but I couldn't hear it very well.
Yeah.
So, because it amplified the plane noise as well as the announcements. Mm-hmm. But I did have that option. And then I find that it's a dial on the side to adjust the volume.
That makes it, that's very nice.
Rather than a couple little buttons.
Yeah, I hate that.
This thumb was broken in a motorcycle accident, so I have a hard time even feeling with that thumb.
Yeah.
So this is really nice. I can just crank it up, crank it down.
That is a good user interface.
Yeah, it's really nice. One thing I'm not sure of yet, I tried it. It's a USB-C charge.
Yeah.
It's got a headphone jack on it, so you can wire it if you want. I would have liked to. I tried it on the Pixel. I tried USB-C audio, and it didn't work.
Oh.
And I'm not sure if that's just the Pixel or this.
Right.
I would really like. I'm gonna. That'll be one of my comments because they pop up, how do you like it thing.
Yeah.
But my comments should be that it should do USB-C audio. Their Surface laptop does USB-C audio. My Go does it. You know, things I'm going to use this with would really benefit from you being able to just cable it to the whatever USB-C.
Is that how you charge it also, through USB-C?
Yeah. Yes, that is the only way to charge it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's got a USB-C jack on it, but I don't know if it does audio or not.
Okay. Now, I noticed Ricky is using a pair of cans versus earbuds also. And I was going to, I was going to say to Sven, I guess I'm wrong. I was going to say to Sven, in Hawaii, we don't use cans as much because they're too freaking hot to wear on the head. But Ricky's wearing them. He looks pretty comfortable.
Oh, no, because these are my editing headphones.
Oh.
When I edit videos, speakers are good, but picking up dialogue is easier with
cans. And it doesn't get too hot?
It gets really hot.
Oh, okay.
If I pop this out, it'll probably be like a tsunami of sweat just comes out of it. So. No, it's really hot.
Yeah, we should note it's still in the mid-70s here, folks. So, we're suffering.
I have to suffer for my art, right?
Yeah.
So, what is it, 75 or so there?
I'm going to say it's between 75 and 80 right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
No, we're about 18 or 20.
And Sven, you're pretty high, aren't you?
51 right now.
Oh, you're pretty warm.
But it was 20 when I came home last night.
Well, let me see if I can find my old hometown in
Alaska.
Yeah. So right now it's 8 degrees in Fairbanks.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, a balmy 8 degrees, as they say.
That's that's very warm for this time of the year. It should be below zero.
Yeah. I mean,
significantly below zero. It does say it's going to go below zero starting Friday, it looks. Well, actually, starting Thursday.
And it's high, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I was in Fairbanks in the winter one time, and it was like minus 31 when I left.
When we moved to Alaska, it was mid-January when we got there. It was minus 50, you know. That's without wind chill. That's just, who cares? You know, and by the way, people talk about wind chill. You know what? After minus 30, it really doesn't make a difference what the wind chill is, in my opinion. Having lived through three winters in Alaska, after minus 30, wind chill, no wind chill. You know, if you've got the right clothes on, you'll be okay. It's just your face takes a beating if there's wind. But even with the mask on. But anyway, that's my two cents on weather. All right. I was wondering about the surf. Because, you know, I don't buy anything expensive, right? I mean, you know, up until my Apple Watch, the most expensive watch I ever bought was my my beloved Microsoft. What was that thing we had?
Band?
No, band? Not the band. Not the band.
Oh, the spot watch.
The spot watch, right? Spot I had watch, my Suntu, which I think I spent maybe $120 on sale.
Yeah.
And that was the most I'd ever spent on a watch in my whole life until then.
Was that the watch that got updates by FM or something?
Yes,
like
yes.
That,
or FM carrier, subcarrier. Yeah.
It worked really well.
Yeah,
it really worked well.
It would adjust its time when you landed in a different time zone and got little news and weather. I even got, it was one way, but I got Microsoft Windows messages.
Yeah, you get MSN Messenger. You could ping somebody's watch and say, call me.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's... I'm still getting a little teary-eyed thinking about it. But anyway. I love that watch. I had two Suntus.
It was a good watch.
Yeah, I had two of them.
One thing that's kind of interesting to me, since it's got time over the air, it was almost always really, really good.
Yeah.
And I had access to the Naval Observatory Master Station Clock.
Wow.
It worked. They were across the hall from where I worked, so they had the time up. You know,
It
was. And I would look at my watch, and to the second, and it was always right on.
Yeah.
So I was really impressed by that. I mean, if people asked the time, I said, "This is it. I don't care what your watch says. This is right."
Yeah. So. Anyway, I'm glad John Westfall isn't here because he knows I get really teary eyed when we talk about the spot watch. But and always makes fun of me. But anyway, okay, next up, you know, I did not watch this, Ricky. So that the whole Netflix Black Mirror, what's it called? It has a really weird
subtitle. It was Black Mirror
Bandersnatch.
Bandersnatch, yeah.
Now what's the deal with that? How does that work? I haven't watched it yet. So it's interactive. You know, what does that mean?
It was the latest Black Mirror episode is a interactive movie of sorts.
Okay.
A choose your own adventure.
Okay.
Right? The first half hour I was like, this is fun. I get to choose what happens. I killed the guy 5 different times. by like the 32nd minute, I'm like, can I just watch this? making the choices?
How do you choose? I mean, what do you fast forward to a certain point? Or?
No, you would as you're watching, as you get to the scene that you had to make a choice on.
Yeah,
it would just pop up your choices.
Right.
Like if it was a yes or no question, if a character is asking you a yes or no question, it would pop up on your screen, and you would use your remote to highlight yes or highlight no. Kill your dad with an ashtray. Talk to your dad. That was actually kind of one of the choices. But you know, it's a novel concept. But to watch a 90-minute movie where you're making choices every few minutes.
Yeah.
It got tiresome, and then you would get stuck in these loops like, wait, how do I not die again? How do I not die so I can get to the next scene? Great idea, terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible user experience.
It's easier to turn on an iPad and play a game.
It's similar to an iPad game when any of those like QuickTime events where you have 10 seconds to like hit the XYB and then stuff would happen.
Okay, I'm going to pass on that. And of course Sven doesn't have Netflix, so he's I don't care.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So we Christmas tech haul. Oh, we just talked about Sven's Surface phone. That was pretty cool.
I'll go with my Bluetooth meat thermometer. It's from my sous vide stuff. So, problem with sous vide is you put the food into a bag and you drop it into water.
Right.
You never know what the actual temperature of your food is because it's in a bag in the water. Right. So you can't exactly take the bag out, stab it, and then, it's not, because, you'll
not
start
hot
to
enough,
leak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we lost Jack.
Okay.
But this one is completely, you can stick it in the bag, you can cook with it, literally you can cook with it in the bag and it talks to your phone so that you always know that
it's there. How much is that?
This set was $80 full retail.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
That jacks
and
back.
If you just, yeah.
Yeah, I reason why Christmas book four.
This thing made the price go up. This is the extender.
Is it necessary?
I don't know. This was just the deal because when I was looking at it, the thermometer alone, which it runs on Bluetooth, was $60 odd.
Yeah.
And then with the extender pack, it was $70 because of the Christmas sale. So I'd rather just get the extender. Why not, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty interesting.
And then what's the other thing you bought?
Thing that everybody has been, it's actually been on the news.
Yeah.
Local news. Because Bert Lum borrowed it to use it on the show. It's the new DJI gimbal.
Oh. So is there a little screen on it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Now you can see my messy room, but yeah. So I've had the gimbals going all the way back to the big one that's bigger than this.
Right.
But this one, I think, is a game changer for vloggers and just travelers, you know, because you can do selfie stuff with it.
And it's perfectly stable.
Perfectly stable. It stabilizes everything. Can you you can see that it's, I can do that owl thing where the camera is just.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How much was that?
This is $350. Nice. But
like I said, headphones.
Yeah.
It's aimed at the GoPro market, so that's why it's $350. If you don't need one this year, I would suggest waiting till next year when they're going to come out with the cheaper version, which is probably going to be half the price. Because I got bit by DJI doing that. But and this is the case.
Mm.
You know, compared to a device where I had to, it took up almost half of my hand carry.
Mm.
With everything, but this is the case, and it charges over USB-C. So I'm making a move into everything needs to charge over USB-C because I only want one charger when I travel.
And for folks who couldn't see what Ricky was doing, which is everybody except us, basically, I should mention that basically what the gimbal is, it's the Steadicam. It's a tiny, you know, hold it in your hand like a, what, I don't know, the size of a, I don't know, a pickle? Dill pickle?
Pixel XL3.
Yeah.
That's how small it is.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not very big. Maybe like a salt shaker size. And I should also note, Ricky is a pro videographer and photographer. So this is stuff he needs to use every day.
Yeah. How much video can you store on that?
Depends on the size of the video card you stick in there. But the battery itself lasts for about 2 hours. You can extend it. You can plug the USB-C in and use whatever charger you have and extend the life. But I would not hold it for more than an hour because it doesn't have a tripod mount. You got to physically hold it. That's an accessory.
Yeah.
Now, who makes that?
DJI, the same as the
drone
people.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, DJI Osmo Pocket Handheld 3-axis gimbal, $349 on Amazon.
Remember how I made fun of you about getting the don't get the sous vide with the Wi-Fi?
You bought it.
No, I actually got it for Christmas. Someone actually gave me one. It's still not very useful, but it's kind of nice being able to. I don't know. I'm not sure why there's any advantage to getting a Wi-Fi sous vide, but I got one for Christmas.
You don't need an extender, right?
No, I don't need an extender.
Because
it just connects to the network, yeah. Right.
So that's kind of nice. I still have not bought a sous vide. I'm just using my Instant Pot. All right, we're running over an hour, so let me see if there's anything else we want to talk about.
I don't know. Do we want to do 2019 tech predictions?
Yeah, why don't we go ahead and do that? So
yeah, one other thing I picked up is about $100, but it's a USB-C battery pack thing.
Oh.
It's a Jackery. I don't know if you can see it there. It's got 90% left in it right now.
Oh, that's nice.
But this is up to 45 watts output on the USB-C power delivery.
Wow.
So it'll charge up the Chromebook, the Go. The Go charges that way. The headsets.
We can't buy those in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We can't get them shipped in.
No. It's sad.
get them on a boat, right?
We can't get any. I mean, you know, soon we won't have any batteries in Hawaii. It'll be very sad. So Ricky and I are going to start a company. We're going to build like, you know, steam engine to power cameras and stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. It'll be a steam
product already
mission.
Exists.
Huh? What?
That product already exists. The whole burn something and it creates electrical power. That exists.
Yeah, biomass.
Yeah, no, but it exists as a product. It was one of those camping stoves.
Oh, yeah.
It's a thermoelectric thing that you can put over your camp stove and you charge stuff while you're cooking.
Well, that's how we're going to all be carrying little camping stoves on the top of our heads as hats. And hopefully we won't burn our hair off and we'll be charging our phones and stuff like that because we cannot buy batteries via Amazon. Anything with big batteries, we can't. Yeah. I couldn't even get a pair of wireless earbuds through Amazon because I had to ship it to my daughter in Oregon and she flew it home for me.
Yeah. That's nuts. Yeah. That's really nuts.
I think our buddy Janik said California has a similar problem too.
Really?
Though I don't know why. I mean, you could truck that in, but okay.
Yeah.
We have problems getting trucks to drive here, just saying. Although one year in the Hawaii State Data Book published by the government, I think there are 7 people who said they commute by car from the mainland to Hawaii. We don't know how. But that was in the data book.
They took the ferry.
okay, predictions. So my predictions, not really prediction, it's already happening, is that hyperlocal deliveries, you know, the Uber Eats thing that started last year, Starbucks is partnering with Uber Eats, so you don't even have to go to Starbucks to get your favorite caffeinated beverage anymore, soon anyway. I think they're trialing it somewhere in Florida. And Amazon Prime 2-hour delivery. And, you know, now that they own Whole Foods all over the U.S., they've kind of got a little warehouse situation going, I assume. I don't know. What other predictions do you have?
I predict that because of the Gatwick drone thing that just happened.
Yes.
Oh.
I predict that this year, or 2019, will be the year when lawmakers seriously start putting the hurt on drone owners. Yeah. And I'm a drone owner. So it irritates me, but it also makes me happy at the same time because people are just...
You are a licensed drone pilot, though, right?
I am a licensed drone pilot, yes. Yeah. Two times.
I think in order to be a drone owner, you have to pass a license.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Okay. I agree, yeah. I don't think it's wise that you can just go down to Best Buy, charge the battery, and start flying within the same day, which I've done.
Yeah.
In the beginning, so yeah.
Yeah, and we should know that, you know, by license, we mean that Ricky can do commercial drone photography stuff that I can't do, for example. Because mostly I don't have a drone, but even I had one.
Yeah.
Okay. Jack, any predictions?
The only prediction I have is that Ricky has cost me about $350. Because I'm looking at it now on Amazon, and that DJI Osmo Pocket handheld is really slick. I want to know how good the pictures are. How good is the quality?
It's 4K. It's as good as their mid-level drones.
So what is it, like a GoPro level quality or better?
No, better. Oh, okay, wait, let me describe. It's better than your cell phone, but not as good as a dedicated video camera.
Wow.
The sensor is bigger.
Jack, can I make a suggestion to you, since I know you don't buy a lot of stuff from Amazon? If you could go to smile.amazon.com instead and donate to your favorite charity, I think that'd be nice. Oh, no, it's automatic through your purchase.
Yeah, it's like 1% of your...
And it doesn't add to your cost.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, yeah. Yeah, I really don't have any issues with it. I haven't posted any sample videos of the thing yet. I've done the Christmas video. Yeah, I did my Christmas video with it, so it's good. People can't tell that I'm using this versus my other equipment. So from my point of view, that's the bonus, right?
Right.
You can't tell what I'm
switching devices.
Ricky's
other equipment is pro level stuff.
My son is getting married in September. I thought it would be a perfect video.
Oh yeah.
And in about 1 or 2 months, they're going to have the adapter that lets you use GoPro accessories.
Yeah.
So you could stick this on your dog and have him run around and get a doggy point of view or stuff and they'll be stabilized. Wow. I've seen those videos. They're cool.
Yes, they are awesome.
Yeah,
I love those dog point of view apps.
Like the dog ears and yeah, and it's stabilized, so it'll be great.
How long does it take to charge?
Well, you use this USB-C. I don't know. I always plug it in at night, and then when I wake up, it's done.
Yeah.
But it uses USB-C power delivery, so maybe.
Well, did you say it had how much video time? I mean, how much video can you record on a charge? Did you say
2 hours?
Oh, that should be enough for a wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not an Indian wedding, but you know.
Oh, and I should mention it also plugs into your phone. Once you plug it into your phone, it unlocks the more advanced features. But just for the simple hold it there and do this thing, that's great too. Yeah.
Well, it's very slick. I'm going to definitely look into it.
All right.
If you don't own a GoPro yet and you don't plan on scuba diving or parachuting or those kind of extreme activities, I would suggest getting this over a GoPro.
Wow. Yeah.
It's actually cheaper than a GoPro at $350, right?
That's, or at least a high-end. That's why they waited for GoPro to release their product, and then they released theirs.
Yeah. Sven, anything?
No, I had that little silliness where Amazon Delivery is going to drive the post office, UPS, and FedEx out of
business. Well, I don't know about that.
But we've already had Amazon trucks deliver stuff here.
Yeah.
You know, it's the truck's got the smile on it, the whole schmear, so yeah. they got their own service starting.
Have you seen any Amazon delivery trucks in town, Ricky? I haven't seen any.
Not in Hawaii, but when I was visiting my sister last year in Seattle, yeah.
Hmm.
I prefer the Amazon trucks over OnTrack and also over the just random people who come up in their station wagon to your house and, here's your product, dude.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah. Oh, I should know, speaking of random trucks, so the other day, and it was pretty early in the morning, like 6 o'clock in the morning, a Penske rental truck pulled up to my driveway. And I'm like, what the heck? You know, they're going to try to rob us, right? You know? But then I stepped outside with a flashlight and stuff, and then I saw a little FedEx magnetic sign on the side, and it was like, whoa. And the FedEx guy stepped out and handed me a package, and we're talking about, you know, how they're renting the trucks because they're like ran out of trucks.
You know what? It's really silly and so old school, but ever since I started giving my FedEx and UPS guys like sodas when it's hot, or I give them a little Christmas satchel of cookies, my deliveries have been really nice. I've never had any, up till now, I haven't had any of the, they just kick it over the wall kind of deliveries.
Well, it always pays to be nice. All right, folks.
I work with my post office guy, though, but I don't know why.
All right. I think this is the longest Mobile Views podcast in history.
Yeah. I had one interesting experience. I went into a brick and mortar Amazon store.
Okay.
They have one at Bellevue Mall.
Oh, really?
That's the one with no clerks?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Is that the one? They had clerks there, but it's, you know, it's Amazon. It's got the sign Amazon. You walk in, there's Echoes, there's books.
Right.
There's, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So as you look around, is there somebody following you and saying, people who looked at this also looked at.
Almost. Yeah. But, yeah, it was kind of interesting walking into an Amazon store.
Yeah.
You know, you don't touch something.
Yeah.
So
that is. Well, in Hawaii, we got to wait usually a half a generation for those things.
I'm really hoping, since they got Whole Foods, and we've got two Whole Foods on Oahu, that we'll start seeing more stuff. I want Amazon lockers to come to Hawaii.
Yes. We have two Whole Foods within 5 miles of each other, I think. Maybe six.
But for Hawaii, that's like driving from Portland to Seattle.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, those of you who haven't driven in Honolulu traffic, first be thankful. And second, it is, you know, we apparently were beat out by LA for the worst traffic in the US, but we were robbed. And I demand a recount because I'm pretty sure we have the worst traffic in the universe.
But at least when you're sitting on the highway in Hawaii, it's pretty.
This is true.
In LA, it
depends
more
where
highway.
You're stuck in.
that's probably true. But in most of the time in LA, if you're sitting stuck on a highway, all you can see is more highway.
Yeah, that's true.
But we have more homeless, so there could be a very strong possibility you're stuck on the freeway watching somebody going to the bathroom. And you know that's true, Todd.
I know that's true. I know that's true. Alrighty, folks.
If I were homeless, I'd want to be homeless in Hawaii. That's all.
If we are coming up on 1 hour and 30 minutes, which is the longest Movies podcast ever, I'm having some heart conniptions on how this is going to compress down to fit on my streaming service. But I'm sure
it's the end of the year one. You're allowed to make it longer.
Okay, anyway, my thanks to I'm going to go around the screen this time instead of alphabetically. Ricky Lee in the top right, Jack
Happy
Cook,
New Year.
Bottom right, and Sven Johansson in the bottom left. Thank you much, and thanks as usual to the good Dr. John Westfall for his round a year co-hosting with me, and we will all see you sometime next year. Thanks, folks.